Hello, everybody. You're listening to Amplify the Arts, a place for artists and art lovers of all kinds to gather, hear stories, and be inspired to amplify the arts in their own lives. I'm Sarah Dudnitz, a pageant girl, communication specialist, and all-around artsy-fartsy kid, and I am so happy that you're here. Before we dive into it, I would love for you to take a screenshot of your screen right now and share it on your Instagram story, tagging us at Amplify the Arts so that we can thank you and keep in touch with you there. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Amplify the Arts. So excited to be with someone who I grew up very close to, but didn't really know growing up a ton, but excited to chat with you a little bit, Allison, and hear a little bit about teaching and sort of like with the school year coming up, how people can support teachers during this time, especially teachers in the arts, and just hear all about what you do, because I know you do some incredible stuff and I love seeing it, your posts on Facebook, and I love seeing everything that you do. So super excited, and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Of course. So to kick things off, do you just sort of want to tell a little bit about you, where you're from, where you went to school?
Yeah.
All those good things? Yeah.
So I am from Hope. It's a little township right outside of Sanford. I went to high school, like you said, at Meridian with you. What year did you graduate?
I graduated in 2016.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we weren't there at the same time, but around.
I didn't think so, but I guess then, Jillian would have been close to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Jill was 2015.
Yeah.
So
okay. Yeah.
And then I went to college at Alma College, and then I got my bachelor's degree in secondary education with K-12 art and a minor in English. And then now I work at Meridian Elementary, so right back where I started. So it's kind of fun. And I'm the art teacher. So yeah, it's great.
You've stayed local. I love that. It's a good place to be.
It is. It is. I knew from the start, if I had the opportunity to come back and teach there, I wanted to. So the opportunity kind of fell in my lap and I couldn't say no. So yeah, I was happy about it.
I love that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to dig in a little bit more, but I know growing up in Meridian, same school district and everything, I know that I had so many awesome teachers and so many people who were willing to invest in the arts. And I feel like really in recent years, like in my education and in the last couple of years, I feel like that's really grown even more with like our band program and our arts programs. But when you were growing up, was there a moment where you just knew that you wanted to be an art teacher?
I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. My parents had this big giant chalkboard wall to wall in our playroom growing up, and two little desks, and I would force my sister to sit there so I could teach her and give her lessons. I was her teacher. I don't really know what I was doing. But then all through school, I knew it was teaching I wanted to go into, or at least it was always on the, you know, on the board there. It was like teaching or nursing, or I don't know, it was something with people. And then the high school art teacher, Gina, she's like, you have to do this. You have to go to Alma. That's where I went. You have to be an art teacher. And I was like, I don't really know if I want to be an art teacher. I wanted to keep doing art, but I don't know if I want to be an art teacher. So I went to Alma and I thought I was going to be a biology teacher. And it only took one class of me crying every day on the way to lab for me to know that was not for me.
Yeah,
that wasn't going to work. And so then I just stuck with my art classes. And I told Gina, I was like, you're right. I should have just gone with my gut. And I'm glad I did. So yeah, it was kind of, I always knew I wanted to be a teacher, but the being an art teacher part, I had to kind of like convince myself that it was okay to follow that little dream, you know, like you didn't have to do something that was more expected of you.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think that was cool. Yeah.
And I feel like that's how the arts in general are sort of always seen, like not as legitimate of a career choice or not as.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And it's funny too, that you mentioned Gina. I didn't know that she had played such a large role. I should have her on the podcast.
Yeah,
Gina.
You should.
Yeah. Gina was not only high school art teacher, but she was my dance teacher for like 9 years.
Yeah. She's a jack of all trades. She's
the
arts guru.
So she huge influence on my life too. So that's really crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but
that's
I love
awesome.
That.
Small world.
Yeah. Especially in Sanford, Michigan.
Especially in Sanford. Very small. Smaller.
It's really about as big as it gets. But So you, I also love seeing on your Facebook the projects that you do. You share sometimes because you do like the dress, right?
Yes.
The dress. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. But what are some of your favorite projects that you've done with your students?
I guess it's funny because some of my favorites don't always end up being their favorites, but, sorry. And, but they will see as like kindergartners, they'll see on the board, the projects I do for each grade, and they get excited about, I can't wait till I'm in second grade when I can do that. So like, that's fun. And then it gets them excited when they know something they really want to do is coming up. But, one of my personal favorites is kindergartners do these little self-portraits. And they're on black paper with this little white crayon. And oh my gosh, they're like little cartoons, but it looks just like them, which is funny. I'm like, how do they do it every time? I'm like, yep, that's her. Like, it's just the best. That's and so parents fun. Love them too, which makes it really special. But like after the flood, a mom sent me, who their house had flooded. And she sent me a picture of her like feverishly trying to dry that portrait of her son, because she's like, this is my favorite thing. And like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's my favorite too. You know, it's just like, you realize that other people value it as well, which is really special. But that's definitely one of my favorites. And then I don't know, other art teachers might think I'm crazy. I hate clay.
So you do? Much. Why is that? I hate clay.
It's just like a lot of mess.
I could, well, especially with like elementary students, I guess that being a problem.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just a lot of chaos, it's a difficult thing for some kids to do. So there's a lot of help. Everyone needs help and there's only one of me. So I feel like if I had 10 more hands, we would be fine, but they love it. So as much as I hate the process of it, I do love like getting it out of the kiln for them and letting them take it home, because then it's special. But that project's my favorite when it's finished. not so much while we're doing it. So
I love that.
That's okay.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the flood. So for those listening who might not know, it was 2020. Of course, the year that everything went horribly wrong.
Everything fell apart.
I know, it was not a fun year. But in our little hometown of Sanford, the dam actually broke and the entire town essentially flooded. And I actually, side question, I'm curious, do you feel like that, or I guess even COVID in general, the entire year of 2020, like how have you seen those very traumatic experiences affect students? Like, what is the change?
I mean, all in all, I think teachers in general have noticed that the pandemic changed a lot. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just been very different years. It's sometimes it's like behavioral and sometimes it's just like attention, and it's, you know, they spent a lot of time at home and probably got to play on their iPads and watch a lot of TV. Cause I mean, there was nothing else to do. So we noticed a lot of those things, but I guess for me in my classroom, the flood in particular, after the flood, kids were drawing pictures like, oh, this is the day of the flood, or this is the park before the flood, or this was the lake before the flood. Like they talked a lot about the flood for a couple months afterwards. So I thought that was kind of interesting. They don't really say as much about it now, but every once in a while they'll bring it up and they'll wonder about it. So, it was 2020, man.
It's rough. It's rough.
Well, even just like 2021 was rough.
I feel like we're finally starting to get a little better, but
yeah, yes, some normalcy.
Yeah. But even just hearing you like say that about them drawing the flood and talking about the flood kind of gives me goosebumps, because I feel like when you're that young and you don't have the language or the skills to necessarily express like, hey, this was a traumatic experience for me and I don't know how to sort of process it. Like, I'm sure that's what it was for them in your art class.
Yeah, absolutely. We even had like some days where the weather, there was one day, maybe last year, I can't remember. It rained so hard, like torrential downpour when we were getting the kids out to buses. And a lot of kids just thought it was funny, you know, and were running through the rain and soaking wet. But some kids, it was like traumatizing. You could tell there was a lot of panic for them about how much it was raining. And I'm like, oh, like I hate that for them, you know, but, things like that, that we would have never thought, you know, like, why are they so upset? It's just raining. But, you know, you make the connections, like, we had a lot go on that could strike some nerves and make kids really anxious. So yeah, so that's been, that was difficult. It was a weird time.
So, I mean, I guess it kind of fits going along with the arts. And I know in my own life, they've been such an outlet for me to process things like that. But what are some of the ways that you've seen students grow or skills that you've seen develop, whether it's like, I mean, obviously I'm sure kids get better at art as they go along, but maybe even some skills that they can take outside of the classroom.
Yeah. Well, just in art in general, I talk about kindergarten a lot, but that's where I see the most growth really is in kindergarten. I do a beginning of the year portrait. So the first day they come into my art room, they draw themselves. And a lot of times it's just lines and squiggles and nothing. And then the middle of the year, we draw ourselves again. And then they start to like look like people. And then by the end of the year, I'm blown away because they are drawing like real portraits of themselves with details and like not missing a beat, drawing the same clothes they're wearing that day. I mean, it is crazy to see the growth that I'm like, these guys made so much growth in these 9 months or whatever it is. Like, it's really mind blowing. So I guess that's my one way to like other teachers, you know, have data, you know, they can look at grades from this time of the year to the end and assessments. And I'm like, I guess draw yourself and then I'll see how it looks later. It's kind of hard to do an assessment, like with data for art. So, actually seeing their growth with drawing is really cool. And I notice kids will talk about like our, we have amazing art words. It's our art vocab words. They call them amazing art words. And they'll like use them in a conversation. And I'm like, oh, I love your amazing art words. You said it. Oh my gosh. You know, and they're like, yeah, I did. I don't, they think it's just normal, but I get so geeked about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, say it again.
Keep using it. You're doing great.
Yeah, I know. And they use it correctly, which is awesome. So that makes me really proud. But I guess like overall, I see a lot of independence. Independence is the biggest thing that I see them grow in through art. I mean, I give a kindergartner a Sharpie on like the second day of school. Like, we're going to learn how to use them the right way. And we don't have a problem with them. And they learn how to be responsible with it. And, you know, fourth graders that are getting paint out of the cupboard and filling their own paints and washing their own brushes and doing all these things and learning how to clean up after themselves and stuff. So it is a lot of responsibility and learning how to be really independent. And so I see a lot of growth through that each year too, which is really neat.
I love that. When I think about like kids making art versus adults making art, I feel like once you become an adult, you've learned like, oh, I'm not an artist. I'm not good at that. I don't want to try that. I don't, you know, you're much more like afraid to fail. Do you feel like kids are much more willing to like try anything, do anything, or do they still have that sort of like, no, I'm not an artist, I'm scared mentality?
I will rarely have a kid say that. I mean, maybe if they're a little bit older, like you said, it's like when you get older, I'd say fourth grade, maybe they're like, I don't know how to draw that. Like, I can't draw that. But for the most part, I just say, today we're going to make this. And they just say, okay. And they just do it. And it's afterwards, I'll say, did you even know you could do that? And they'll say, no, I didn't, you know? So it's, you can tell in their heads, there might be a little bit of fear, like, oh, I don't know, but they do it anyway. And there are times where they get frustrated and they're like, I can't do this. This is too hard. And we talk about like, you can't do it yet, but we're going to keep trying and we're going to keep doing it. And then eventually you will be able to do it. And that seems to help. But yeah, you're right. It's interesting when you're an adult, a lot of times it's, you know, like, I don't know how to draw a stick person or whatever, you know, but kids, they just go for it. They just have no, it's like you said, it's like no fear. They're like, yeah, let's do it.
I love that. I think we could all take a page out of that book. But I know when I was growing up in Meridian, I think we did the self-portraits like every year, the drawing self-portraits. And then they put them all in a folder that we got on graduation day, as well as like a bunch of other papers that we like wrote in elementary school and all that stuff. And it was so funny looking at mine, because you could tell like this year I like learned a very specific way to draw a nose. So like now my nose on my self-portrait looks like that. But like you could tell I learned like a very specific, like, this is how you draw it. But those are so fun. I know I still have mine somewhere, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I love that.
So fun. What do you think is the most challenging part of your job?
Oh gosh. I feel like there's so much multitasking that sometimes I feel like I cannot how can I possibly be the only person in charge of this right now? You know, like there's so much that you're doing. I mean, there'll be like 30 some kids in my room all doing clay. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the only person here to help you. Like, you're listening to me. I'm the only person in charge. Like, this
there's no backup. Right. Like it's just,
yeah, me. There's no backup. It is just me. If this goes sideways, like we're all going down. It is just me. And that's kind of, I mean, some days are really easy, but there's other days I'm like, wow, like I cannot believe that I just got all that stuff passed out, cleaned it all up, gave a lesson, sent 6 kids to the bathroom, 3 kids to the office, dealt with 25 tattles, heard my name 1,000 times. Like, how did I just do that all in 1 hour? It's really crazy. So I think just like, I mean, we have, teachers have a great ability to multitask, but it truly is exhausting. So I would say that is tricky. And patience. Gosh.
Oh my gosh. People especially with elementary school kids. Yeah, I can't imagine.
They say teachers are so patient. I'm like, I feel like sometimes I'm not, but maybe I am. Maybe I'm more patient than the average person, but.
Like I only am because I have to be. I don't have a choice.
I have no choice. Yeah. Yeah. So patience and multitasking are very difficult. Yeah.
Is it challenging? I know you mentioned this earlier, compared to other subjects, which have much more like quantitative, you know, you can see the improvement. Is it challenging for you to like provide or show the value of, or like the growth of your students?
I would say sometimes, like if I'm being asked to make it really specific, you know, like give them an assessment, a formative, I'm like, I can't, you know, it's really difficult to give them a paper test, you know? I mean, there's concepts that they can learn about and write about, but I mean, it's hard to prove to someone else like, oh yeah, they've grown a lot, you know, unless they are able to see all of their stuff, you know, laying in one spot, you know, to see the full growth. And I know there's some art teachers that do keep all of the kids' art for the entire year and look at it all and then send it all home on like the last day of school. And I'm like, I feel like the parents would be so mad at me if I did that. Like, so I send it all home. I'm like, I want you to get this home. This is exciting. I want your parents to see it. But sometimes I wonder if I had kept everything, would I see even more growth than I already know of? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of times I view the growth as a whole class rather than just one student at a time. You know, I just see like an entire class's work, and some, the beginning of the year, maybe our projects, I'm like, did this not go well? Did they not fully understand me? And by the end of the year, I'm like, they got this. They like blow me out of the water with how well they understand. So yeah.
That's nice. That's sweet. Yeah. On the flip side, what is the most rewarding part of your job?
Ooh.
Also a hard question.
Yeah. The kids, honest, I know that's generic, but the kids, gosh, if I had a hard day, they don't know it, you know, like I'm not announcing to a bunch of second graders, like I've had one heck of a day, you guys, like you wouldn't believe the day I've had. But they, somehow they just know and just say the right things, or they give you a hug at the right minute, or they write you a little note that you needed to hear, and like things like that. So those things are like the best part of my job. Like I had a kid that wrote me a little note on a teeny little piece of paper that said, "You're the best, you don't even know." And I was like, oh,
oh my gosh,
like I needed that. Like, thank you. Like, it's true. They don't realize how much those little things can add up and mean, you know? So I would say that is the best part, is knowing like, even if I had a crappy day, or even if I think things didn't go well, they show up for me. Like they do, they show up for me every day, and they're happy and they give me hugs and I missed you over the weekend and I love you and all these sweet things. I'm like, ugh, elementary. I don't know if high school would give me that same kind of love. That they do.
Probably not the same.
Probably not.
Oh, that's so sweet. I think that speaks a lot to, I think, what an art class should be and the kind of environment that it should be with, I don't know, just like they should be happy to be there and they should be excited to see you. And they, that sounds like it's exactly what it is. So that just makes my heart so happy. So what day do you go back to school?
The kids come back August 29th.
Oh my first. Goodness. Has it always been August? That feels early.
We used to start after Labor Day, the last couple of years we've started before. So yeah, go like 4-day week before and after Labor Day. So
seems strange. Yeah. Well, coming up fast. So
yeah,
I would love your take on this. What are some ways that people can help support arts and arts education, whether that's like people specifically like buying things for your classroom or just in general community support? Like, what are some ways that you think people can help?
I would say if you're a parent and you want to help your teachers or your kid's art teacher or their classroom teacher, whoever, ask them if they have an Amazon list. Because even if they're not publicly sharing, like, hey, I have this Amazon list if you want to help my classroom, a lot of them are just making a list themselves, you know, like of things that they want to buy. And if you ask them, like, hey, do you have an Amazon list or is there anything on your Amazon list you want? They would be happy to send you the link to that. And then it's like a little gift. It's like a Christmas present when you get the book you wanted in the mail or something. So definitely ask teachers about those things. And then I guess like outside of that, if you feel called to volunteer in the classroom, ask those teachers, like, how can I help you? Whether it's in the art class during during clay time when it's a crazy like project, or you know, the music teacher is getting ready to do a concert, or the drama teacher is going to put on a show. Like, how can you help as a parent or a community member to make it successful? Or even just like be excited for your kids and for the kids in the community about it. Like, don't just brush it under the rug, like be excited about it. So when the art show pops up or when the concert is here, the play, like go and see it, whether you have students who have art in it or not, like just be present and just admire the hard work that they've put in. And that means a lot to the kids and the teachers too, to see people showing up. So
I love, cause I don't know if we really have art shows before you started doing them a few years ago?
No, we didn't. My first year teaching, it was right after Christmas, and Gina and I were together and we're like, you know what? We should do an art show this spring in 3 months. And like this crazy idea to put on an art show. And so she's like, I'm going to get as many of my kids to put art in as I can. And I said, I'm going to get one work of art from every single kid. And we did it. And then now we're like, we can't not do this. This is the best. So now every year we put on the art show. So it's been awesome. It's like Christmas for me. It's like the best part of the year.
That is sweet. I know. I mean, I can only obviously speak from personal experience, but growing up in band, the number of volunteers that it would take to like all the band moms who were helping. Like, I mean, you can't do that as just one person. And then all the ones that like show up too, right? Like come watch and all that stuff. It's that's vital. And that does make you feel so good as the student, right? When people show up. Can you, another thing I thought of, can you tell a difference, or I guess, can you tell the difference when students have support at home as far as taking risks, trying new things, you know, that supportive environment where they're encouraged to do those things versus maybe students who don't?
I guess kids that seem to have the support system, they just are naturally confident, I think. They just go for it, you know. They don't ask me a lot of like, is this what I was supposed to do? They tend to ask less questions if they have more confidence in themselves. And you can't have confidence in yourself without someone else being confident in you, you know, at that age. So I definitely noticed that, because then the kids that are asking me more like, is this what I was supposed to do? Is this right? Does this look okay? What do you think now? Look what I added now. Look what I added now. Our kids that maybe aren't getting that attention at home. So they want me to see every little thing because they want me to cheer them on through the whole process.
Validate it.
They want so much more validation. I mean, all kids want validation, but I see a difference between the kids that probably aren't getting that same love and attention at home and someone that's excited to see what they bring home, that are constantly needing me to reassure them, rather than the kids that, they get the assignment, they do it, they show me at the end, they're happy with it, and they move on. And they're like, I don't know.
That's interesting. I was just curious. No, that totally made sense. I always love to ask when I close episodes, who is your favorite artist?
Okay. So this is probably super cliche for me to say this. I was like trying to think, I'm like, I could come up with some other artists that people maybe don't know about, but I mean, I have lots that I admire, obviously, but, Vincent Van Gogh.
Yes.
Classics.
Okay. You know? There was just a Van Gogh exhibit.
I have not seen it. And I Oh my gosh. Tons of people I know have gone and have told me to go see it, and I just never did. I went to New York City in college for an art class. We were there for just over a week, and I was walking through one of the museums and I saw a big like group of people. I'm like, oh, I wonder what's over there. And I didn't look ahead of time to see what art was in this museum. And I turned the corner and the Starry Night is like, there in front of me. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really like, it was just like amazing to me. And you could get so close to it. And I'm like, it's so much smaller than I thought. It's like, wait a minute, that can see his real paint strokes. Like just things that I'm like, it's so different to see it in real life than to see it in a book, you know?
Yeah.
So that like, I had already admired his work before, but then seeing that and then going to another museum and seeing his self-portraits and things like that. And like that, he sat in front of a mirror and looked at himself and was painting that. Like, that is the real deal. Like, this is not a joke, guys. Like, I don't know. I really love, and my kids now, my students, they have the same love for Van Gogh as I do now. I have a big Starry Night hanging in our classroom, and they'll notice it in books and they'll notice it in cartoons and come back to school and tell me, I saw the Starry Night in my cartoon yesterday. And so it's a big deal for us. So
I think when I was in middle school, I don't think we painted Starry Night, but we did something with Starry Night, but it was really fun. I know when I went to the Van Gogh exhibit, I mean, I always knew sort of like his sort of mental health struggles and the things he was going through, but then to like hear it all and learn it all was fascinating. So I agree. Really cool stuff. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for the work that you do as a teacher. And yeah, I just really appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. And thank you for all your nice words. It was so nice of you to reach out. I was excited. I was like, oh my gosh, yes, of course I was. That was awesome. Yeah, it's great. So thank you. I appreciate it. And I love everything you do with Amplify the Arts. Like, what a cool way to get people excited about art and like getting the art kits that you were sending out to kids. Like, oh, yeah. I love it. It's just amazing.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Yeah. That's so great. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you guys, as always, for listening to Amplify the Arts. I hope that this school year you will consider supporting your local art teachers in any way that you can, and your school districts in general. They need your support and they need your love. So if you would like to support Allison, you can find all of her information, her social media, as well as her Amazon wish list in the description of this podcast. And we'll see you next time.